If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Oh man, the Daily Show at 1390. That puts us about 98 episodes away from the big one.
This is the good stuff. Well, the right stuff.
We're about 10 episodes away from needing a 1400 graphic.
The Jewish apocalypse.
God knows what kind of AI slop can be unleashed upon that. It's going to be. we're moving into some historic days here. Some might even say some historic. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. Days, I might say historic, or you can say historic, one or the other.
I think we are one away from a big event. In Spain, I think 1391, if I'm not mistaken. I know 1492 was like the actual expulsion. Okay. The pogroms erupted in Spain in 1391. So, yes, we're going to be celebrating that next show.
Very good. I like that. That sounds fun.
Now, I guess I'd...
It's a good Monday topic.
There's a funny article I saw on the Times of Israel yesterday that I sent to the Times of Israel.
Israel.
By the way, if you were listening to our thing, or the Israel. How, you know how like this is one thing I think is like a shibboleth, which is in the Bible actually used as like a way that it's pronounced a word, so you can tell where someone's from by asking them to say a certain word. Israel is actually a shibboleth because you like the way Jews say it is different. Like we say, we'll say percent Israel. They'll be like
or Israel.
Israel. And then you get like the Jap girls, like they'll be like, Israel. I'm really in touch with like Israel. And like, it's just like, no, I don't hear any Gentiles say it that way. It's like Israel. In church, sometimes they'll say Israel on purpose because they're like doing a thing. They're doing a bit, you know?
You can be like Susie and the Banshees and say, Israel. That's another option.
Yeah. Shofar and the Banshees.
Very nice.
That just came to me. I don't, you know.
That's very good.
Wait. Speaking of Israel, they're attacking Lebanon?
Oh, wow! That's never happened.
I try to keep like a running tally of who they're blowing up this week.
Nine countries since October 7th. But they are going hard at Lebanon. Yeah,
They're trying to get Lebanon to disarm Hezbollah and like they kind of want. They're basically saying that's an impossible task, and it's like when you fail to meet our demands of disarming Hezbollah, we're just going to invade the South and we're going to do this and that. That's what Israel's basically saying, and they can do that because America, you know, nobody opposes them except for the entire UN. Wasn't there a UN action yesterday that like everybody voted unanimously against Israel, and in the US? Of course, has the veto power. It's just naked. It's blatant. It's just they veto.
They're trying to do establishing a Palestinian state through the UN mechanisms now, and I think the U.S. is just not going to allow it to happen.
The UN is just basically with the United States involved. The UN is an illegitimate institution. Like you cannot function with the United.
Yeah.
It cannot function with the United States. Like an organization like the UN needs to exist to thwart an entity like the United States, our empire. It's like.
Oh, I see what specifically happened yesterday, though.
Okay.
So the United States. So after this, all this talk of like Palestinian state and like European countries and Canada and some other countries were all saying they were going to vote for that. and they're going to put forward a resolution. And even some of these Gulf Arab countries were involved in that. Like Qatar was involved in that. The United States took travel, like revoked the travel visas of Mahmoud Abbas and like his entourage of like 80 people that were, that come when he goes to the UN. Mm-hmm. And so that means he can't even show up for that. So he's the guy who's going to theoretically be a head of state, and he's not even allowed to like.
This
show
is a
up
legitimate. This is a legitimate move. This is what legitimate countries do.
Right. This is legitimate. Now we have allowed Castro to come. We allowed every Soviet leader to come. Like everybody has been Gross. Allowed to come to America.
Everybody's like, every, coming.
Saddam Hussein
all the time. Like, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Leaders, the Soviet college. Leaders are coming. Castro's coming, everyone's coming all the time. Mahmoud Abbas not allowed to do any coming.
Yeah, he's like,
if he wants to come, he can come at home until someone takes his home away. He'll get the next.
Well. Yeah, so
I cannot do that voice, I'll do it anyway.
Well, just shout out to Arnell.
Yeah. But I'm thinking like I'm just the entire every line, I'm like, man, this would be so much funnier with Arnell saying it.
Dude, Arnell did it a while ago. He did when we started doing commentary on the Hamas videos out of Gaza, them blowing up tanks and shit. He himself did a couple of them in the Arnold voice. He's like,
"Do it.
We have a situation." It was really funny. He's like, "We have a situation in Gaza."
I like when he does. I like when he does Morgan Freeman as well.
Yeah, he's real good.
Everyone is coming all the time. I'm coming. Castro is coming. The Soviet leaders are coming, but not Mahmoud Abbas. He is not coming. Christian.
So they voted to allow him to give a virtual speech, like to connect remotely, which the United States is not able to block that.
Okay. Oh man. Anyway. God damn it.
Go ahead. I say no. There is this diplomatic effort to create this Palestinian state, which now Israel. I can't stop with that shit. Spectre and I did a hilarious bit like a year and a half ago now on this too. We were showing all these Yenta broads saying that word. It was very funny, but whatever. If Israel were not retarded, they would actually go with this, because what they're proposing is a Palestinian state is like a totally cucked, disempowered, totally powerless entity.
Yeah.
And it would be effectively like, yeah, we'll call it, it'll be the same as it is now, but we'll just pretend it's a state.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's like
it won't have any weapons, it won't have any sovereignty. Israel will run all the security. That's the thing.
It's like, yeah, I was going to say, like, Palestine is actually like two states. Like, there's the West Bank state and there's the Gaza state. Like, the West Bank, the ruling party of Gaza is Hamas, and in the West Bank, you have the, you know, the PLO or whatever. And it's still completely besieged and attacked all the time by Israel. And it's like, at this point, like, what good is recognizing a Palestinian state if you're not going to recognize what Israel is doing to it? Yeah. Right? No matter what Palestine is or is not, you're just not allowed to do the things that Israel does to people. Like, they're the only, like, no one else is allowed to do this. And no one else is allowed to do this, especially in the name of having an actual ethno state. Right? Like, no other country on earth is welcome to be a country for one certain kind of people, and it has to be preserved as such. And if there's a demographic swing in the country, like the government of that country and its media will go crazy talking about how to restore and get it back to where it was before, because we're losing, and everybody else goes, yeah, that's true. It's like only Israel gets to do that.
It's the only one, because I've had people try to argue like, oh, there's other countries that do that. No, there's not. It's the only country that has that nation state law. It's the only one that explicitly lays that out.
And it's the only country where no one says that, like, outsiders can immigrate there and become a part of it and assimilate into the culture. Yes. They do not say that. Even if you fucking convert to Judaism, that's not enough.
Yeah. Well, for example, the idea that you or I or any of us, like Alex, can't go and be like, I want to go back to Scotland. Let me just have the right to return, right? I can't go back to Norway or Serbia with just some like right to go back there. Should I want to? If I wanted to move to one of those countries,
well, I can go there, but
maybe possible. But it would be a fucking. There's no reason to, right? No, but my point is, it would be an extremely involved and arduous process to try and get the right to particularly as a white person to go and as a white American to go live in one of those countries. And
that's
stay
the
there
point I'm making. You go to one of those countries. You go to one of those countries. Just fill with packies and niggers, right? Like you, you can't go back. Like, Germany's not full of Germans. There's Germans there, but it's like you know, I can't go back to Germany. I can't go back to England. I can't go back to wherever the hell else I'm from.
Because that's what people will like the say this to white people sometimes, and I'm like, well, you think that Europe wants whites from America? You think that they would have, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, people may, I don't know. Actually, if I were the people in Europe, I wouldn't. You don't
want to
do that.
You don't want Americans, but, no. You want America. Yeah. What's going to happen to America is what you want. It's going to like wither and die over here when it's not the lone superpower of the world anymore.
The type of American that would actually appreciate and want to live in Europe might be like a rare type that would be a decent person, but whatever. The point is that that's just not something other countries do. And you know, I'm on my eternal fight, and this another reason I'm angry about this Charlie Kirk shit is it totally took a week and a half away from my life when I should have long since now published my research article.
Oh, that's
doing something
in
tomorrow.
General,
so
though,
it won't be still
in general, in general, though, having this disgusting tendency on the right revealed so that we can counter it the entire time is totally worth it. But yes, your specific task of finishing that article is
it'll be finished soon. I will get it. Like, I just got distracted by all this stupid shit, and the thing is, I got triggered yet again yesterday because somebody said something like, because of course Germany did have laws like this. They had race laws, right? And then they had to be destroyed for it.
Sure.
Someone said like the Germans, the Nazis, were also Zionists and Jewish supremacists. I mean, that's an interesting, this real wild claim. And I guess this was another argument Jamie was in on Twitter. And then somebody said something like, "Well, they did they called it the Hasbara Agreement, which is just funny." And they're like, "Yeah, we know that they were, because they concluded this Hasbara agreement." Now, the person actually characterized it correctly as an agreement to move like goods and capital. And I was like, okay, so there was an agreement between the German Ministry of Economics and the Anglo-Palestine Bank. That's that. Those are the two entities that were like actually signing the paperwork. So presumably then, and they're like, and this is how you know that like this one racial supremacy group like supported this other one. This is the claim. Okay, so then when they signed the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, that's because they were supporters of the USSR and Bolshevik supremacy, right? Because it's the only reason you ever sign an agreement with a group, right? Because you support that group's supremacy. Am I right? And the guy was like, it's not a valid comparison because, and he was trying to do like, because the,
because I'm not trying to lie about that agreement right now. I'm trying to lie about the Hasbara agreement right now. So it's not fair that you bring up other agreements that I'm not currently lying about.
The thing is, these are also leftists, right? So they're going to be loath to shit on the USSR. And in fact, the fact that's a thing that's kind of a, they don't like to talk about it, right? The fact that they did sign that non-aggression pact. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, but these are two groups based on spread, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but okay, so can you show me in the Hasbara agreement where it says that the basic foundation of this relatively minor capital export allowance is based on the mutual racial supremacy? Can you show me where it says that? It's like, because we are racial supremacists, and where does it say that? Now, of course, these people are going to be absolutely devastated when I tabulate the actual number of things that have I think I did the bit of I know I'm going down a rabbit hole real quick. How many prefabricated houses were exported from Germany to Mandate Palestine between 1933 and 1939 under Hasbara? How many prefabricated houses? Because it's part of the deal that they're going to import prefab houses. See if you can guess. 20.
Zero.
Oh, 20. I've got the doc. I've got the documents. 20.
Oh, that's even
it's like 20 fucking mobile homes or trailers or whatever, or prefab, like double wides. 20 double wides.
Mobile homes.
Not mobile. They would have been double wides, right?
Oh, but it's funny because Jewish creek shitters.
Because the total amount of capital was like something $35 million, which is like okay, over 6 years, and how much of that can be accounted with just by those double wides? Anyway, whatever. But I've literally got the documents. But we can move on to something different because I don't have that done yet. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, wow, someone's on the internet talking about the Nazis. I'm sure you're not lying or making something up. And it's like, what a weird set of premises we have here. The Nazis are the most evil people in the world, right? And they're Zionists?
Oh, here we go.
So,
sorry.
The Nazis are the most evil people in the world, and that's why they did the Holocaust. And they're also Zionists, right? Because Zionists are evil. And the Jews are Nazis. So it's just like all these confused like rhetorical lies all over the place. It's probably that's like, you know, these lefties, like, they don't actually care about the Zionism. They do just want like leftism to come out on top, I guess. So just like use these things to bludgeon each other. Because there's no reason. Like, did you see that Talcum X has started saying, like, I'm going to stop calling people Nazis. I'm going to start calling them Israelis. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's good. That's good for him. I mean, that's at least good that he did that.
Yeah.
But you should just say Jews, Sean. And also, like, you're coming closer and closer every day.
I mean, that's a huge... Truth. I don't care once if he again, says Jews or not. And saying Israel, I mean, that's great.
Just saying not that. Saying Nazis is already a
or just putting
thing.
It out there, again, like, calling the Jews yeah. Nazis is stupid. And he's being said, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's great. Like, all, okay, of his, so, like, all of his credibility is coming back ever because of this. Like, all of his pretending to be white. Or pretending not to be white and all that stuff.
So this is very funny. This person is saying the Hasbara agreement was an agreement between two racial supremacist organizations that fundamentally believed in the superiority of themselves and the inferiority of the other. Molotov-Ribbentrop wasn't reached on those terms because the Soviets were not because nobody
made that up either. Because nobody made that up yet. I'm making it up right now. How do you counter it?
Well, my counter is this. Well, yeah, I'm giving you the counter.
I'm telling them the leftists. Like, I'm making up right now that there was the Soviets believed they were superior to everyone in the other, and yeah. So the Germans, and that's what this agreement was based on. Tell me how you argue against it. Oh, it's not in the documents.
You can.
Oh, it's not. That's not laid out in the documents at all. Oh, so I made it up, right? Just like you made the other one up because you were. What happens.
He says Molotov-Ribbentrop wasn't reached on those terms because the Soviets were. Not ethno-supremacist, this comparison doesn't work. I'm like, so where is this mutual ethno-supremacy mentioned in the agreement? And he actually responded. I'm going to actually dig my teeth into this argument later on. Doesn't have to be. It's an assessment of the two parties involved and what informs their actions.
Translation, no. I made it up. Translation, I made it up because it fits like the thing that I want the world to be like.
Yeah. You're just making things up. So
yeah.
I don't know, whatever. It's really the guy. It's like you just want you desperate. Here's your problem. This is the problem. I turned Twitter off, so I don't look at this guy's dumb responses anymore. Here's the fundamental problem that I'm trying to address with this article. You have brain rot. Generally speaking, almost everyone in America has. You don't have to inherently be embarrassed about it. You just have to fix it. The brain rot is that you feel like as a leftist, the only way you can delegitimize something is by saying it's Nazi. And I think you're worried that you see what Israel is doing and you see how evil it is. And you're worried that if you lose this Nazi thing, then you're going to lose any moral authority with which to criticize Israel. But what if Nazis never existed? Just imagine as if there's a world where Nazis and Holocaust and none of that shit ever happened, and you just have Jews do it. Because that would, if in theory, if they had managed to actually kill Hitler in 1926, or if he had died on the battlefield in World War I, or maybe someone else would have come along, but if this had been defeated, right, you still would have had Zionism. It still would have been there. Could have had the National Socialist State could have never come into being, could never had its 12 years of existence. The Zionist state would still have eventually been created. And so you can just be against that. Like you don't, there's this, I don't know. It's like this, it is because of Jewish propaganda and everyone notices it. Like, oh, everyone I hate is Nazis, all that stuff.
Right.
Stop doing it. Hate things on their own terms. It's okay to just hate Israel as itself. Just let it be itself. It's not Nazi. Nazis weren't Zionists. Your pathetic attempt to take like a fucking capital export agreement that like barely moved any capital or people and was widely boycotted like and was hated on both sides and was almost canceled in 1937. Here's the funny thing. The reason they almost canceled it in 1937 was because the British said they were going to make a Jewish state. But all right, anyway, this is all for later. But yeah, I don't know. But people just make things up and they like it. And
usually, that's why I feel like this is usually a rightoid thing, trying to like rescue anti-Semitism and racism from Nazism. You know, this is like a Joel Davis thing or like a Keith Woods thing. It's like let me keep trying to do what I'm doing, but let me try to throw some wrenches in the gears of like pro-Nazi anti-Semitism. Let me try to like tear apart at the table talks or stuff like this. Look how pro Israel Hitler was. You don't like him anymore. It's like what? And it's like there's no point to that because everyone who's pro Hitler knows you're lying. So who are you talking to? Like, yeah, just
and always remember the purpose of this. Zionists and Nazis were the same. Is to
hi. Hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail.
To once again make Jews the actual victims.
Alex, you have to secure that mic stand. I don't know what's going on today. It's all over the place today. Boom, 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 boom. You have to secure that mic stand. Lock it down. Stop bumping into something.
So, yeah, the purpose of this, though, is to actually do this. It's to make Jews the victims again. That's why they do it. And that's because you are comfortable. Your brain has been formed and molded in a place where Jews are always the victims. And it comfortably fits into that little mold. And I'm just telling you, you don't have to do that. You can just, Jews can not be victims. You can have a narrative in which Jews are not victims, in which they are aggressors. And they are aggressors because they are Jews. Like, this is another thing they want to do. It's not because they're Jewish, anyone else would do it. No, anyone else would not do it. Because, one, anyone else isn't doing it. Jews are doing it, and they're doing it specifically because of Jewish-only doctrines. So shut the fuck up. Sorry, guys.
I always see this as they're just trying to deball actual opposition to what Zionism is doing, right? So if you've got Nazis that are the actual opposition, and they have actual principled examples of things you can read and know, well, tearing that down is essential, because then you can go... Because if you tear down the Nazis, all you have left is, like, retarded rightoidism. And that doesn't work. Yep. And retarded leftoidism doesn't work either. Like the brownoids and like the immigration lovers and the fuck ICE Antifa that march around with Palestine flags, like that, their shit's retarded too. And it's not sufficient to like get the job done. You have to actually embrace it. Like, yeah, it's Jews are bad and they're evil and they kill people. Like everything, everything you, and no matter what political, I guess that's not really true. Like if you're a leftoid, everything about capitalism and like the brutalization of people and violence, like in like worldwide supremacy, those are all Jewish problems. They're the ones that do it, right? So and that's what Hitler was attacking. So.
Yes, and just look, just because a state says we're a state for like one kind of people, does not every that's
state,
not the actual
every state
bad
should
thing.
Be for one kind of people. That's how the world worked for millions of fucking years.
Yeah. Or at least, like, at least it should have a majority character, right? And you know, because like all over Europe, you're gonna have. This is the other thing is like, European countries. Sure, there's like a primary language nationality. There's all this fuzzy stuff around the perimeters, and that stuff doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter unless it is stoked up by somebody with some kind of fucking issue that they want, like usually Jews, looking to cause trouble. Racial groups, I don't think racial groups should be mixing. There will be inevitably some on the periphery of boundaries and things like that. But, it's also why I don't really get out of that outrage when people talk about Nazis talking about like Germanifying Slavs and shit. I'm just like, oh yeah, that'd be terrible to raise the cultural tone of that area.
That means Hitler wanted to kill white people and he's bad. Once again, like we're rescuing Jews again from their enemies by casting them as something that they're not.
Yep. Well, as long as I'm genuinely telling you this. And if you want to get more on this, definitely read Kevin MacDonald's second book, because this one is actually, I think, the most underrated and probably the least read of the trilogy. The only thing that has worked, the thing that can defeat Jews, the thing that's most threatening to them, is what the Nazis did. But just because they held a mirror up to the Jews in certain ways doesn't mean that they were actually also genocidal maniacs. It's the Jews that are the genocidal maniacs.
Right.
You have to have enough faith in your own kind of people that you having your own place will not mean that, because historically it has not. There are so many fucking lies about all of this that are told, and they are leaned on by Jews. And I think part of this is, in fact, a Jewish gay op to make Israel seem like it's just part, like even the fucking claim that, like, oh, look, Western white colonialism was this bloody, evil, genocidal thing. It really wasn't. Israel is. This is all fucking
Jews
bullshit.
Made that
you don't
up.
Have to like Yeah, you don't have to like it, right? Like, I think the British Empire was just about one of the gayest things that ever happened. However, it was not like what Israel is. Not even close.
Nope.
And I'm not saying that to try and wash any blood off anyone's hands. I'm just, this is a history. If they had done that shit, I would tell you. The thing that, you know, the people they were the worst to? Other white people in South Africa.
Yeah, that's where they invented the concentration camp. Right. All those bears.
Well, dude, what was it? Oh, man. What was that shit? We were talking, there was this guy that I was making fun of for doing that, like, Ragnar Redbeard shit on Twitter. And his, what was his name? His name was like Rule 308. So I was like, what is that shit? So I looked it up.
It was from Star Wars.
It's based on this British commander in the Boer War who was actually executed by the British Army because he was executing Boers without any Boer POWs, without any due process.
Ah.
You're saying he was doing it in revenge because they had set an ambush and killed some of his men. And so then they were rounding them up. But then the funny thing is, people actually like to make this particular British commander like a hero. And because he then said, he actually did say this thing. He's like, when they asked him, like, what law or rule were you operating under when you executed these prisoners? And he says it was Rule 308, which is like the caliber of his
gun.
That's
how many bullets were in his.
That's what I thought it was. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was a reference to a 308.
It is. It was a reference. It was a direct reference to a 308. And so that was what he, so he's doing like nature red and tooth and claw, Ragnar Redbeard, the gun is where my authority comes from shit, right? And the British state was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because, well, apparently not, because you
check
got
out,
shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Check out what we do. Check out what we're going to do.
Yeah, and so, I have to go look up what that
got. 30-06 now, apparently.
Yeah, right, yeah, rule 30-06.
But,
oh, boy.
The funny
execute
thing about
order 30-06.
That, of course, you get rightoids that make that guy that a hero, right? But if you go and you look, because the claim is that he was just in the field, these commandos, that's what, you know, that's what boards are called. That's where they're out there commando style. They're out there commando style, and they killed some British soldiers. And then the claim was like, okay, well, he was just getting revenge for his people. Like, you know, I'm going to do Ragnar Redbeard.
Oh,
say
that
this
makes
is all
it
okay,
okay
to do. But it's actually worse than that, because he killed innocent people too. He killed women. He killed kids. He killed school teachers. He killed a priest. Like, he murdered 20 people. And they killed him. The British government was like, you're not allowed to do that shit. And so I guess Rule 308 isn't really the final rule, is it now? And so that's what's sort of funny about that whole thing. It's like, people want to valorize this guy. And there's a movie where there's like a court scene, and it's very dramatic, and they're going back and forth, and the guy finally delivers the speech. And what's funny is, I was looking into this, and I was like, is this real? Did he actually say this? Or is this only the movie? Is this dramatized? I feel like this is something that's made up. Like, no, you can actually get, he actually did say that shit in court.
Wow.
I would be like, to me, that's like automatic execution. You go to court, you're like, yeah, I was operating on my own authority. The authority
wow,
he's gun right here.
So like, wow, right, he's really ahead of his time. He said that he didn't even have a Twitter account to post that with.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't even.
So usually that kind of bloviation like goes along with a really strong social media post. About how they took out the moderate. They're not going to like what comes next. It's like, ooh, what comes next? The Tonight Show is canceled. Well,
what comes next is the schizophrenia. I don't know. But arguably, at least that guy actually did those things and didn't, you know, I don't know, whatever. But not that they were good, but it's such a perfect rightoid hero. A guy who just murdered in cold blood and bragged about it on some fucking stupid, like, Ragnar Redbeard justification. It's just so perfect. It's, you know, But the thing is, it's never really true. That's what, that was one of my main critiques of this whole way of looking at things, right? That, and a lot of this stuff is, I think, people that promote this, it sounds cool, it sounds fun, you're the tough guy, you're this, you're the one that, you're the one that gets the harsh realities of the world.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it, in the end, it feels like it, all that shit is some kind of elaborate defense of Zionism, too. It's like some kind of, in the end, it's just going to be used to defend Israel for like killing children and shit.
Well, basically.
Eventually, that's how it gets deployed.
Ultimately, that's where it leads. Ultimately, yeah. That's where it leads. You just end up doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're doing like brutal,
you just don't understand war.
When you're doing brutal, like fantasizing about bloodletting and just like atrocities, like that's there's only one country on the planet that does that, and that's Israel. And you're whoa, wow, that always seems to coincide with like at least soft Zionism of I don't care. Or a ha ha ha, less brown people. Mm-hmm. So.
I literally had somebody on Twitter trying to make that argument to me. This particular sniveling little bitch is calling me a sociopath for wearing a fuck Israel shirt.
Wow.
Because I was harassing and agitating people.
Good, fuck them.
Yeah, it's like, if you support Israel, you need to do some soul searching.
I can wear any t-shirt I want. Well, I can put whatever I want on these things.
And also, I find it interesting that the same guy who talks about how brown people being killed overseas might be good for a stock portfolio is also crying about somebody wearing a t-shirt.
Oh my God. Some Jew might see that and feel uncomfortable, Alex.
This is the caliber of people that populate social media. It's these types of fuckwits.
I will say this, and I always say this forever. And every time I've said this on Twitter, it actually is very popular. I always say Jews do not have a right to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Jews have absolutely no right to feel comfortable.
And you as a right,
I certainly don't have a right to. So why the fuck should they? Also, just,
why should anyone that support them feel comfortable?
You should feel uncomfortable,
and you should start to think about why you're supporting a bunch of genocidaires. Like, you should think about that.
You should not be able to. You should be like feel really embarrassed about.
And also, for the record, whenever I go in public in my fuck Israel shirt, I get tons and tons of public approval, and I suggest everyone put on a fuck Israel shirt.
Right, and I would or say this
any
like
any kind of shirt like that. Really.
If we're gonna go, let's analyze this from a utilitarian perspective. More utils are gained than lost by that shirt. Like, maybe some Jews lose a few. They lose a few. Some Jewish utils are lost, but they're worth less anyway. Jewish utils are practically worthless.
It brightens the day of so many people. They smile and they give me a thumbs up and they say nice shirt.
If someone out
and
there is
it
with
improves
me,
their, it,
I'm
it
not alone in this
day.
Zionist world.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like someone else has a human conscience as well. That's good to know. Yeah,
it's a net positive. Everyone should do it. In fact,
I'm not the only
say,
sensitive and intelligent person who's affected.
I mean,
by
what are you afraid suffering. You're going to get in trouble for hating on an evil foreign government? Why?
Yes! Yeah, people, yes! They are! Because people do! No, it's a reasonable fear. People are absolutely afraid they're going to get in trouble.
Well, that's the one thing you should be okay with getting in trouble over. Because you can make the argument of how idiotic is that? Am I required to support Israel? Really? Why?
Oh, wow. I'm going to never... outlive this. It's rule 303, not rule 308. I will never.
Oh, the 303 British. Okay, yeah.
No, it's fine.
Well, it's a gay cartridge anyway.
Okay. Harry Breaker Morant. That's the name of the guy. So anyway, whatever. You can look him up yourself. He was a fucking mass murderer.
It's a Enfield rifle.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad. I'm retarded, and if I knew more, I would have known this. But yes, anyway, whatever. Three almost looks like an eight, so close enough. But yeah, no, I think that I don't see why Jews should have a reason to feel comfortable. It's very funny.
Well, hold on. Do you know what replaced the 303?
What's that?
The 308, 7/16.
Well, you know what pairs well. You know what pairs really well with 303? An 808. You gotta get a TR-303 and a TB-808.
Yeah.
Now suddenly you can make
hot beats.
You can make really old sounding techno. You're good.
Or you can make like Dr. Dre sounding.
What you really want is a 909. The 909 is where you get that. We have the clap.
I was always told that 909 was like kind of like try hard.
When someone told you that was a faggot.
I know.
909
was, they weren't a fag, but they were absolutely like a gear fag.
909 is the punchier one. 808 gave you like the big boom bass, whereas the 909 gives you impact. So really, you want all of them.
Yeah, I didn't weigh in. I just knew a music fag who had this opinion and was very, very much into that.
So can we talk for just a second about Trump trying to designate Antifa as a terrorist organization?
I'm not trying to. Just saying he did what he did. He posted a tweet. Like that's
he posted a tweet. Yeah. And I see all these rightoids just jumping onto this, like, yeah, we're gonna go after Antifa, we're gonna round them up, yeah, we're gonna like bomb Antifa, we're gonna have drone strikes on Antifa.
Why didn't
you guys know though that you can't actually designate them a terrorist organization?
But not only that, he posted the same thing in like May of 2020.
Yes,
on Twitter.
Yes,
same exact thing.
Same shit. You fell
same
for it.
Exact thing.
You fell
it's
for it
not
again.
Something that you can do. He has no ability to do that.
There's no authority. There's no law that allows you to do it. This.
He has the ability to declare anything. He can. He's the president. He still can say something. He's got free speech like anyone. He can say it. I declare Antifa as a terrorist organization. There's no legal mechanism there. There's no, nothing's going to happen as far as the government. He's allowed to say whatever he wants. He said that. Okay, good enough. He just declared it. It's and that would be, I could almost see that argument being made. Like, okay, so where's the, he's like, so where's the, what's happening with the, he's like, I did it. I declared it. I did it.
Yeah.
I declared them a terrorist organization. So what's, I just did it.
I'm giving you the information.
I'm giving you the terrorist organization declaration. I just said it. Like, that's all there's going to be.
Oh, my God. And I saw the dumbest arguments unfolding over this. Because, first of all, domestic terrorist organization is not a legal category.
It's not a real thing.
It's not real. Yeah. It doesn't exist. You'd have to pass laws to do it. And there's some opposition to that because of obvious First Amendment problems. But
it totally conflicts with free speech. Because if you're... You cannot pre-declare under the Constitution. Okay, I understand this is a tenuous thing, but this is still something that seems to be in operation. You cannot pre-declare a group of American citizens as terrorists. If you are claiming there is an organization that has been created only to commit crimes, there are laws to handle that. And even those are controversial, but they do exist. Uh-huh. And that's like RICO and shit like that. But yeah,
And people are like, what about if I make it a foreign terrorist organization? I'm like, that also doesn't work because you would go after people for material support for like a foreign Antifa cell. Yeah. You couldn't do that domestically. You couldn't go after someone because they have the same name as the foreign organization.
One thing that Lewis was saying last night is it's funny because everyone's still brainstorming. I didn't even think about it twice, but people were brainstorming how could you do this? And yes, they could, in fact, declare international Antifas as terrorist organizations and then just find connections to people here. And they would be able to find not just ideological, they would be able to find material connections. And then they could arrest those.
You could,
but
if they're doing that, you could.
They're not going to do it.
But you're not going to do it to the Antifa that are not connected to an international cell,
right?
They would just be able to do whatever they want.
Well, what you could look, if you wanted to, you could be extremely broad in the scope of such an investigation as this. And if you wanted to, here's the other thing: what you would do, you declare the foreign ones terrorists, round up the people with connections to them. Put the people with connections to the people with connections here, you know, so it's like an ever broadening circle of connections. Yep. Put them, essentially scare them to go to ground. And then the people with connections to them are just going to, they're going to definitely go to ground. So like you would effectively destroy the organization that way. So you would, the chilling effect, all that shit, right?
The most likely
that's
thing
possible. They're not going to do any of that though.
Yeah, the most likely thing is the feds will do the same thing that they've done to us, where they'll start knocking on doors and leaving cards and making phone calls. And every once in a while, some Antifa is going to piss his pants and talk to the police, talk to the feds, and dig himself a deeper hole. Like, that's probably about as much as we're really going to get out of that.
The only thing is, if they're better about not doing
it. I know they are. That's the
they're better part. About shutting they're the fuck up. They are better about shutting the fuck up than what
they will about. Disseminate orders specifying that, like, shut the fuck up, don't talk to feds. Oh, yeah.
No, they are, and it's if you think about it, it's funny because they're supposedly anarchists, yet they have a much better hierarchical organization. I'm not one of these people like there's no Antifa. There is an Antifa. Now, I don't know the extent to which it still exists, but in 2017 and 2018, there was an Antifa that was an organized top-down network in America that was organizing with the purpose of committing violence and crimes. That existed. Maybe these networks have fallen apart or drifted apart, and there's fewer people invested in them. I know they had a big issue after October 7th because a lot of the Jewish leaders were trying to do both sides guy shit, and they had internal problems. But there's definitely a cleaving off. Like, the Antifa and the Palestine left are not the same thing. And the Palestinian, the pro-Palestinian left and stuff like that, like, they are a very different type than the Antifa type. Like, they're also, they direct themselves at institutions. Like, they go and protest at the places where the things are actually important. And
yeah, and I would say about you might get, the feds might get just a couple scalps here and there to the point where they could, like, do a presser and say, look, we did it. We took down some Antifa, and then throw that to the base, and the base will be like, ah, see, we're winning. They arrested this guy who ran his mouth on Discord.
You know what else has happened, though?
If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. therightstuff.biz/paywall.
There's been a lot of Antifa arrested, and they're always, you know what it really is? Just look at all their phones and find the fucking CSAM, because they all have it.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, like, the amount of Antifa that have been arrested on CSAM shit is, like, crazy. Huge. Over the years. So that would be another way to do it, right? Just do, like, just get them all on CSAM. Like, just investigate them and find the CSAM. It's like they did, interestingly enough, that guy who was at the Utah Valley College and yelled, like, oh, shoot me. When they arrested him for, like, obstruction of justice or whatever, or, like, obstructing the investigation, I think they charged him with obstruction of justice. They also looked at his phone. He just had fucking CSAM on there. So now he's also charged with that. Which is, okay, good enough. Fair enough. Good. Fine. Anyway, I don't know. I just don't take that seriously. Who is taking that seriously? Trump saying that. I mean, I guess all rightoids.
Oh, dude, you should see the hardcore memeing going on right now. They act like it's open season on Antifa. Antifa's finished. They're going to get locked up. Feds are going to be throwing flashbangs through windows. They're going to be kicking down doors. It's over, Antifa.
Let's see it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Let's see it. Let's see it.
Let's see. Is this Carolyn Borsenko that you just said?
Oh my God!
She's
back in the headlines.
Undercover, yes. Nancy. Headlines called.
Oh boy, here we go.
Is she wearing a wig, or she's been growing her hair at the same time?
I looked at her makeup, and I was like, "Is she Raggedy Ann? Like, what's going on with this clown makeup?"
So this says Undercover and Antifa. They sincerely believe they're living through a real dictatorship. You have to listen to these people's conversations. Sure. It's absolutely mind-boggling how far gone and warped these people's minds really are. Yeah. Investigative journalist Dr. Carlin B. went undercover in Antifa. It's a military, in quotes, operation. They bring in people with military experience to lead sessions. Antifa trains people on how to get arrested. Antifa has people at the jail. Bail funds are ready. Lawyers are lined up. Their primary goal is the violent overthrow of the federal government. CC. Okay, whatever. So what do we have?
That's not true. But the rest of what she's saying is true. But wow, yeah, that's not, wow.
What's going on?
Carlin Borisenko is an undercover investigative journalist for Decode the Left, who's infiltrated these terror cells. Carlin, tell me about how these people train. They look pretty militaristic.
Yeah, absolutely. They do have sessions where they bring in people with military experience. Anti-war is a very big thing for Antifa, so they do hand-to-hand combat trainings. I was just undercover with them in New York City over the weekend, where they had a whole self-defense class where they were teaching people how to violently, you know, confront the police, but also defend themselves if they needed to be put in that position.
Hang on a second. I can't get over this. Carolyn Borsenko looks like a raccoon who works as a rodeo clown.
I'm going to stick up for her. She was just infiltrating Antifa, Alex. That's why she looks so stupid. Because she going into an Antifa meeting looking like that, no one's going to question it.
Right. You can't, like, that's body shame or whatever, you know?
Yeah. She's looking like a lunatic retard on purpose.
Always get out of jail so quickly. You see all these people get popped. They get bailed right out, and charges never stick. How is that?
Well, Antifa, actually, they train people on how to get arrested. And it's interesting with far left subcultures because they actually...
How do you train to not catch any charges after you've been arrested? I would like to hear this training. Like, you can get arrested. So if you train correctly, you can get arrested and not catch any charges. You
teach
get released.
Me the skill.
Yeah, what is this? How do you train for such a thing? Does it involve planking? I don't know. I don't like planking. It hurts.
Well, what kind of training? Shutting the fuck up is actually one thing that you really ought to do. But other than just shutting the fuck up, I don't know what else you can do.
They volunteer to get arrested and go through this type of training where they are provided legal support. They are provided lawyers. They are provided all of this stuff with mutual aid.
Provided lawyers by Jews. Yes. That's interesting.
Yes.
So you can't really train. You can just be paid for.
Aid. And so
the only training is shut the fuck up.
As they get arrested, Antifa basically goes down to the jail and they bail them out and they are all set up with a lawyer and ready to go. So they plan all of this stuff out ahead of time and they have the resources set up for people to be able to be taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, obviously someone's paying for their legal representation. What is the core mission of Antifa?
Carlin knows, too. She knows about the Jews. She fought against this until she actually then looked into it and actually had like a principled change of mind where she turned around and said, oh yeah, wow, maybe it really is the Jews. And then of course she did what everybody mainstream or not really mainstream, well, a lot
on,
of people
she's that, on Fox that, News right now. I don't know, like what she must have had right. Some kind of come to Jesus, well, with somebody.
She
or she won't say that.
I don't know, but she I know that she like briefly gravitated to Groypers, and then of course that everybody that does that, they eventually have a falling out and they go off and do their own thing, and now she's doing this. But here's the thing, Carlin, I would say this to her. You, by doing this, you are bolstering now, like, the Trump administration. And I get it. Like, you hate Antifa. I hate them, too. Nothing you're saying is wrong, but you're not giving the full context. Like, this is Jews. The lawyers are Jews. I have literally dealt with Antifa lawyers. Every single one of them was a fucking Jaime Leibowitz. It's a fucking Jewish thing. That's how they have all this. Like, the National Lawyers Guild. There's a few other things that do this. All these people, these are all Jewish organizations so that these people can do this. Anyway.
Is it anarchy? Are they anarchists?
Yeah, Antifa are anarchists. Their primary goal is the violent overthrow of the federal government. I cannot emphasize this enough. You know, we've been hearing a lot of talk about civil war over the...
Well, if that was true, that would make them cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be helpful. Like, this government falling would be, like, a good thing. But
arguably, like the
for.
Lower level grunts or whatever are like under that delusion, but the top level people are under absolutely no such. No. They're there to protect Zionism,
right? Just like everything else in America.
Last couple years between Democrats and Republicans, red versus blue. I firmly believe that the real civil war we have coming is the radical revolutionary socialists and communists in Antifa versus the federal government. That is
sad.
That would be fun to watch. That would be fun to like have a. You know, bucket of popcorn and watch, but that's just.
It would last like a day if it was real. Like,
This is what Charlie Kirk has getting shot has done to these people. Like, you think that there's a. Like, there's no radical. Like, these are the only people in the country that are somewhat radical, these Antifas. Like, nobody else is radical. Like, no one's been radicalized. Jimmy Kimmel getting fired is not going to radicalize anybody else or de-radicalize. It's just like, it's just nothing. The reason that nothing ever happens, meme exists, is because like nobody's actually going to do anything. You know, people have like, things can't just happen. People have to make them happen. And if you have an entire population of subjects that just watch social media for, you know, for basically gossip fodder, which is what all this shit is, and nothing ever happens because they're not doing. They're just waiting for somebody else to do it so they can watch.
Their goal.
You mean they're spectators?
Yeah,
they're just spectators. Yeah.
I need to watch things die. It's a newer one, but it checks out. It's a newer Tool song. It's too new, actually. 10,000 days.
People need to start taking this problem very, very seriously.
Oh,
my name is Tom Alter. I'm a member of.
Oh my God! It looks like just like Dave Meltzer. Holy shit.
Socialist
Horizon. Recording in progress.
I'll just say it again. My name is Tom Alter. I'm a member of Socialist Horizon in San Marcos, Texas, and also a member of the Texas State Employees Union, affiliated with the CWA. As anarchists,
what is she
insurrectionists,
doing? Is this an Antifa that she's undercover with, supposedly?
She got this guy fired, actually.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely reject the formation of a revolutionary party capable of leading the working class to power. without organization, how can anyone expect to overthrow the most bloodthirsty, profit-driven, mad organization in the history of the world, that of the U.S. government?
2 minutes, comrade.
Thank you.
What is she doing? What are these? What is all these faces she's making?
Wait, hold on. What? Okay.
Tom's a faculty so member guy... at the in history at the Texas State University. So she's exposing. Oh. She's
that
so,
is such.
So being undercover without Antifa means she's on Zoom calls with them. Is that right?
Dude? The thing is, yeah, that's what that means. It means going to meetings and shit like that. And so, wow. So she's a piece of shit like all over again because that rhetoric that guy is doing is like that's fucking bog standard.
That's bog standard revolutionary.
I know, right?
That is not necessarily Antifa. And that is people that are have this these that are like left wing socialists, whatever. No, you notice the Palestine flag back there. Good job, nice one with that. But an actual Antifa would never have a Palestine flag. Like the actual group that's Antifa, they are not organized to overthrow the United States government. They are organized to go on the street and counter right wing protests,
right,
violently, to keep right wingers from protesting on
that's
the streets. And they will tell
they
you themselves that's
yes,
their job.
That's in their name, anti-fascist.
As Steve mentioned, a revolutionary party needs
these guys
a revolutionary
just a socialist.
But what, she's making
a dusty, moldy old socialist. That's all
she's making these obnoxious eureka faces while he's talking. Like.
As Steve mentioned, a revolutionary party needs a revolutionary situation for the working class to win power. We are not in that situation now, though it may be coming soon, as the crisis of capitalism only continues to deepen, and capitalists look to war and fascism to save their profit system.
Oh, God, they're
socialist
so dumb.
Crib notes.
Generous.
It's the same. I've participated
it's
in
so retarded.
Like, meetings where this kind of rhetoric
as the
is
capitalists
about, like,
look to fascism. It's like, as the one thing I don't like looks to the other thing I don't like to do things that I don't. It's like, shut up. Like you're.
This is why
leftism will never work. Because you don't have no fucking idea what you're talking about when you talk about your opposition. These people are not fucking fascists. They're the opposite of fascists. They are free market
fascism
capitalists.
Fascism is capitalism in decay.
Meaningless statements are things that leftists say to make themselves feel better. What does this actually mean, capitalism in decay? What does
Carlin,
it mean? Capitalism's not in decay. Capitalism's not. Capitalism rules the entire world. The global fucking finance-based capitalism runs the entire world on a fiat currency that everyone uses that they decided. It's like there is no capitalism in decay. So, and also, it's
that's
just
not
like,
really what they mean by in decay. But we need to split hairs. But like,
what do they mean then? This statement is like it means nothing to me because it's just word salad.
It's their way of understanding that like the that like everything is getting shittier under capitalism, basically.
But capitalism is not getting shittier. Capitalism is flourishing. Every day there's like more. There are more like creative and wonderful ways to like conjure money out of nothing, or conjure money out of subjugating someone. Even worse, right? Like capitalism is just like I don't. It's totally ubiquitous, and it's just cash rules everything around me.
It's difficult to know exactly what they mean, but they are also
because they don't mean
like
anything. They're just words. Like I don't like these things, so the one bad thing is just the other bad thing in decay. So what is decay? Well, decay is existence. So as capitalism exists, it turns into fascism. I decided because I don't want to understand fascism.
The bog standard is capitalists. The internal contradictions of capitalism inevitably lead the capitalist class to embrace fascism to suppress the working class. But as he said, they are nowhere in any kind of situation where you are in any place close to any kind of working class revolution. So why would the ruling class be embracing fascism? And as a matter of fact, the ruling class is not embracing fascism.
No,
that is just silly. They're embracing Zionism, and it has nothing to do with the position of the working class or not. In fact, the working class isn't really much of a player, and that's sad, but it's true.
No, the leftists
also,
have stayed have stayed out of the way of what has crushed the working class, which is immigration and race shit. So leftists are not fucking prepared to take up the mantle of defending the working class because you actually cheerlead its destruction in this country.
Yeah. Yes.
So
the fact that Jews psyoped you on those issues made you utterly ineffective, and the fact that you prioritize those, like everybody in America, liberal, conservative, socialist, whatever, libertarian, even with the very small exception of a very small group of people, everybody prioritizes American race ideology as a number one, in their whatever other ideology they want to have, including this socialist shit and including fucking Borisenko's libertarian shit, because the whole thing of her, why she hated us when she first ran across us and was surprised there was ex-libertarians in there, is because, oh, they are like, they look at race. But Carlin, Borisenko, didn't you used to go to places like Porkfest, to things like the Free State Project, where those people would sit there and talk about, if not overthrowing the state, like getting rid of the state, not obeying its laws, like not having it there. Like those people were insurrectionists by the same token that you're saying this guy is. There is nothing at all unique or unusual about what this guy is saying. I have no reason to actually think this guy's even particularly a member of an Antifa. He might be. But like that rhetoric is nothing but straight up standard. And if anybody who knows anything about politics has heard that and understands that it's just the same fucking by rote Marxist, like literally reading from a crib sheet of Marxist talking points, there's nothing original there. I could have said that.
And it's not.
I can say that program from memory.
Those talking points, that kind of Marxism, is there's two things about it that rightoids refuse to accept. Number one, that it is nowhere near taking over anything. It's not there. Like not, like capitalists, the capitalists and the Jews that run the system are not going to give up their power for some kind of Marxist, you know, working class revolution of any kind. Dude. And also, it's not dangerous to the system, so it's not censored anywhere.
I remember when I used to argue on the internet with Marxists and communists, I would point this out, like, hey, you know what? Your belief system is such a tiny niche and it's getting smaller. Isn't this contrary to the predictions that Marx made?
Yeah. Dude,
you know what that shit is? That's content now. It's content for them.
Right.
It's repeating these talking points.
But rightoids act as if this is like the looming, this is what runs the society. That this is what's around the corner. This was behind every, you know, Kamala Harris was going to bring about a Marxist revolution in this country. They can celebrate that they thwarted that with the 2024 election. It's like, no, it's like no one wants to do anti-capitalism. No one. Like the liberal establishment, the Jewish establishment, the liberal media, they're all in on international finance capitalism forever. They might, these talking points in various levels of, I don't know, extremism exist out there and people might dabble in them, but it's just a credibility enhancing display. It's just for clout. You just say
it's what they call, it's costly signaling to create a credibility enhancing display.
Right. It's nothing. So this guy actually talking as a true believer, as he, you know, works in the history department at Texas State University and probably doesn't share much of this with any of his students or in any way, shape or form. He's not secretly running the university and teaching your kids to be communists. Like your kids are just going to come out whatever the fuck they are. And it is what it is. But what are you going to
do? I mean, it's,
I'm not saying that the shit he talks isn't bad. It's terrible. It is actually anti-working class in every way, shape, or form. What these people believe about the work, like these people have helped destroy the working class by taking up the cause of anti-racism, which just fucking just wrecked the working class completely because they had to compete for wages with, you know, whatever you call it, DEI, affirmative action, all that stuff. New bodies showing up in the country that are brown from other countries, immigration. It's just like that was destructive to the working class completely. And they use the working class. By working class, they just mean like drug abusing, black mask wearing losers that will go do like weird crimes with them in the streets and fight Republicans, and occasionally shoot Charlie Kirk, I guess.
What's funny though is I don't even get the impression that, well, Tyler Robinson was probably an enjoyer of certain kind of anti-fascist.
I'm sure he enjoyed. That's what they're flipping out. Like he would probably watch this and be like, yeah, man, yeah. That's awesome.
He
probably
seemed far more interested in
furry porn,
in tranny stuff. One thing I will say, this kind of very orthodox, this is very orthodox by rote Marxism. Mm-hmm. They do not like identity politics. No. They do not like tranny, gay, race politics because they're like, this is a distraction. Like they will tell you like this is a capitalist distraction, which, hey, not wrong. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like, it's just, dude, this shit is just outdated. If anybody... I see no reason to think this guy is any kind of a terrorist, actually. I don't think he should have lost.
Oh, no, no, no.
We do not build a revolutionary party now. This is surely our future. What we do now is incredibly important.
And she's doing this like performative like flip out with her facial expressions and her hand gestures, like just like as if she's uncovered some, you know, it's crazy.
Let's educate ourselves and others in Marxism and the history.
She's like, I found the guy.
We are by no means just a reading club. Our tasks are laid out in the Communist Manifesto. We must participate in the struggles of our class, whatever they may be, from joining union picket lines to defending trans people. And then, as communists...
Oh, there you go. You fucked it up. All right, fuck it. you fucked it up. I knew, into a fight trans against people, fucking retard. That's not something. I don't know. Whatever.
Of our oppression, capitalism. Through struggle, we can win reforms along the way. Trans giving confidence
capitalist thing
to our class.
This You're is struggling to win reforms? That's not even revolutionary.
You know what? No. This guy's just a liberal. At the root of it, this guy's just a liberal.
Build a mass party. Reforms are not enough, though. If the working class is not in power,
I don't know. Like, what is he reading? He's reading a long essay.
Reading
here.
An essay he wrote. He wrote.
Oh, he wrote it himself. All right, I'm just gonna say. Is he?
I don't. He did. I don't know. He's. Reading,
is he going to respond to this and talk about it? And she's just showing this as I don't know. Or
those yeah, that's what Marx was talking about. He wanted Democrats to take power and do some mild reforms.
Yeah.
And if reforms aren't quite good enough, then maybe revolt. I don't know.
I just find it
just gay.
It's what he's saying is to me so boring, but it's like the fact that she is like, yeah, she's like pointing,
she's like
as if she's uncovered.
She is having MK Ultra, she's having MK Ultra seizures in response to it. She's having like if James Lindsay watched this, if James Lindsay was on the Zoom call, he probably wouldn't make it. He would probably have died.
Lost, as we have seen in recent times, we must build a revolutionary socialist party now. So that when a revolutionary situation arises, the working class has the tools and organization it needs to take power. To conclude,
dude,
have confidence, build workers' power.
Every single radical out-of-power group talks like this.
I know.
White nationalists on some level say similar things. This now is not the time. We don't have any power. Things are developing in our direction, in our favor.
We're building a vanguard.
Gather the people, get it together. You do this stuff, yeah, right. Like every, it's the same thing. In a way, it's just this is better presented to make it sound really erudite and educated. And I noticed this long ago. Libertarians, in their own way, do something similar, and there are libertarians.
Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, six-monthly, or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support, and thank you for listening.
Carlin used to be one of these anarchist libertarians. So this idea that she's outraged by anarchists, and they weren't above doing violence. They weren't, they would plot to break the law, but they would plot to like sell drugs and shit like that. But like, it's just,
so you're saying they're narco terrorists.
Yeah.
Be a firebrand for a socialist horizon. Thank you.
Oh, Socialist Horizon. Is that the group? Okay.
Recording stopped.
I figured he was just being like poetic, like be a firebrand for a socialist, or is that a name? I don't know, whatever.
I know that there is, I think, a group called Socialist.
Thank you, comrade. An excellent timing.
Oh, that's it. Many of Tom's students at Texas State are education majors. Okay.
Hey, yeah, Tom? No, that's it is because there's a.
No, who's this guy?
He's on the front page of their website right now. So they're angry that he's.
So she's
fired.
Got another guy here.
What's this guy's name?
Is it true that Texas State trains the most public school teachers in the country? I remember that stack circling around like
she's still
a couple years ago
racial...
when Texas State was getting all like the shit that it always gets for being like the, you know, like the lesser school in Texas.
Yeah,
I remember somebody saying, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so he's talking to the other speaker.
But I remember circulating around that it like trains like the most public sector teachers in the country.
That it definitely is for Texas because that's what it was started as a teacher school. Actually, mm-hmm. That's what Lyndon Johnson went here.
Yeah, all right.
I can't wait to then we tear down the Lyndon Johnson statue on campus.
Hell yeah!
But yeah, so then Texas State's grown. It's now like the 19th largest school campus in the country. So that would kind of make sense that it could be in.
Why is she so mad? At this.
Training for teachers in the country. So I haven't actually heard that.
Dude, I'm mad at this. Hold on. Trumpet, I'm mad at her. Hold on.
Yeah.
We do a lot.
I don't give a shit about these
that's
hold on.
That's most of my students as well. A lot of them are education majors. So
history education.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She's still doing
combat. Right, Carlin Boris. What the fuck kind of stupid faces is she making? Dude,
to teach. Listen
to
this.
So I go to Socialist Horizon. I thought I'd heard of that group before. There's probably been groups called that before. This particular Socialist Horizon, though, listen to this. Here we go. Socialist Horizon was launched on August 20th, 2024, at a meetup held in Chicago during the protests against the Democratic Party's continued funding and execution of the Israeli genocide against the Palestinian people. The call to meet was made to analyze and oppose capitalism and the bourgeois two-party system, to oppose imperialism and genocide in Palestine, and support full Palestinian liberation. And so the meeting was attended by, get this, wow, over 40 people. And then later on, you go down and they're like, this is affiliated with International Socialist League. I click on International Socialist League. They've got a website. It's all free Palestine shit. She is not, this is not the same thing as Antifa. This is not the same thing as Antifa. Now, people don't have to like this or whatever, but the reason this is happening and she's getting this guy fired is because he's part of a fucking group that, got together and formed themselves specifically because of Israel and Palestine. And she, Carolyn Borsenko, who herself has said she's against Israel and she doesn't really like the Jews and all that shit, is now out here just like helping them by once again like getting somebody who was part of an organization that formed itself, whatever other bullshit they think. The goal here, their fundamental organizational principle was support for Palestine. And that's what she's breaking up. That's not Antifa. There's nowhere. Now they might say they are anti-fascist, but they're not, they don't have Antifa flag anywhere, any symbolism like that. This is not necessarily the same thing. And it's just like, I will bet you $1 million this guy, what's his name? Tom Alter or whatever. Mm-hmm. I bet you this guy never did a violent thing in a protest in his damn life.
Yeah, it's just another boring, dusty, moldery old freaking Marxist.
Yeah.
Who works at a college somewhere. Amazing scalp you've taken. Mm-hmm. Amazing scalp you've taken from a niche group that has no power whatsoever. I mean, that's
right. Yeah. And it's not overthrowing the government and is not even talking. I mean,
but now right wingers get to run around, clap each other on the back for taking on the leftist.
They're doing what they think the left did to them for so is get people fired and make it so you can't be a leftoid in public. That it, there's a, you know, that having the chilling effect on your speech. They're just doing the they're just doing what they feel is under them, and you know, what the left was doing to them didn't stop the resurgence of Donald Trumpism under you know, Jewish Zionist, mm-hmm. you know, desperation to have them to defend them in their quest for genocide. So like doing this to them is not going to stop the eventual resurgence of liberalism when it comes back, like when they need that back. You know what I mean? It's like it's fun. Like, have a good time, get guys fired. You know, Jimmy Kimmel. Oh no,
Antifa achieved its goal though. Their goal was to destroy like white nationalism and alt-right or like pro like their goal was to make that utterly ineffectual. They cleared the way for the current fucking MAGA movement. That's what they were there mm-hmm. for. And maybe they not in their own minds, but that's what the Jews organizing them wanted. They were like, you go out this like nascent right-wing like nationalist street movement, make sure that those guys are all disorganized, retarded, and like fighting amongst themselves, can't get things done, disrupt everything they're doing. And this ultimately cleared the way for MAGA. Antifa didn't do shit about January 6th. They didn't do a damn thing about that. They never really bothered actual normie conservatives all that much at all. Like, they don't like them, but when they actually went out into the street, it was only for people that were talking about Jews and race and stuff like that. And they succeeded there. They won. They beat that. Not to say that everybody, like, I have to like everybody they went against, because a lot of them I don't. But they won. And then Biden won the election. And now Antifa doesn't really matter so much anymore, does it? It's not that big of a deal. But now, isn't it interesting? When you get these people fired, when you manage to get people fired, when you manage to fucking ruin people, isn't it interesting that it always dovetails with the fact that they're part of organizations that are pro-Palestine? Carlin Borsenko was simply participating in the Jewish crackdown on Palestine stuff. Because that's all I'm seeing. All the groups this guy was affiliated with, this is all just Palestinian stuff. And again, like, I have my own problems with the pro-Palestine left. But that's what she's doing.
Yeah, you're just fueling this sort of like reactionary policing of anyone who goes against the status quo. And of course, that will be reinforced to be used on literally anyone.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's crazy too. If you ask them, like,
actually against Israel, like,
yeah. So this is the question to ask people on the right when they're celebrating this. Okay, so what happens after you get rid of all of the leftists? Oh, they're all gone.
They don't care about that anymore. They've actually been trained not to care about that. That whole, like, because remember they have been trained to reject the argument, which is actually sort of a classic conservative argument now, that you don't want to give the government this power because then it might get turned around and used on you. They actually just reject that now.
No. I mean, in terms of a political project, okay?
You got rid of the left.
You got rid of the left. They're out of the way. They're no longer obstructing you. What are you going to do?
Well, it's the same as right now, because they're not obstructing anything right now.
Right. So we're going to get what? Mitch McConnell forever and Zionism.
Yeah, well, you're always going to get anyway. So,
I mean, really, that's what they support, because whenever I've sort of pushed them on that, it's like, oh, you mean all the leftists are gone? I guess I'll have a Coke. Okay, so you just like the status quo.
Why don't you just say that about the Jews then?
Being in charge.
Like, people ask me about this, about the Jews. Like, what happens when the Jews are gone? I'm like, well, then what do you mean? Like, then we're good. We're all set. Then we can have a peaceful world.
Who will tell me what to do?
We get real, then we grill. Yeah, then we grill.
It's a really weird question that I'm not surprised to be hearing from rightoids.
It was a rightoid woman that was doing this on Twitter, and it was funny because people tried to give her like long-winded explanations, and I just said, like, we grill. This was always the point. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what are you talking about? When you defeat your enemy, what do you do? Yeah, you're fighting your enemy so hard, but have you ever thought what's going to happen if you win?
Yeah, if I win, I'll just lose all sense of purpose and wither and die.
Well, if I win, my enemies will... I'll just be happy. Yeah, no, I'll just be happy because I'll have defeated my enemies and the world will be a better place. So, yeah, what are you talking about?
Let me see. We won't have our foreign policy completely run by Tel Aviv. So that's a huge net bonus right there. We will not have the kind of resistance towards trying to do sort of projects centered around our own race, you know?
That'll Dude, there's gone. So many things we can actually like. The
it,
one
it just sort of clears the stage to do a lot of things, and it fixes a lot of current problems and abominations.
One less people won't be doing evil shit. We won't have evil genocide state that we're supporting. That's just a benefit right there. Number two, we can actually open up our trade with these major oil producing regions and drive down the price of oil, so people can have cheap gas. That's a big one, right? We have very cheap gas without Jews. We have nuclear power. We could expand the use of nuclear power. We can, we can have it peaceful. We don't have to be involved in a bunch of wars. We don't have to be policing these other regions. We can actually genuinely say, oh, something's happening in that country. Oh, I don't really care about that. That's not really our problem. As long as our sort of trade interests are not particularly threatened. But even then, okay, well, I guess that just sucks if those retards can't keep it together. It's just like, we don't have fucking faggot tranny shit everywhere. Like, entertainment media, news media is not going to be constant fucking subversion of your culture. Like, I don't know, just anything. What do you want? I mean, I could give you a long, long list of things, but again, it's kind of irrelevant because, you know, ultimately, we're not, there's no real on the horizon Jews losing power. Now, I don't think Jews are going to ultimately be able to hold on to what they've got. And this is forgive me, this is sort of a historicist point, which is that, just generally speaking, they've always ended up fucking up for themselves. So I think they will again. And as you can see, it is true. Anti-Semitism in America is going up. And this is predictable based on social identity theory and social conflict theory and things like this, that people, increasing numbers of people, are seeing themselves in a conflict of interest with Jews as an organized interest group that is against themselves. That's why I don't really buy Marxist stuff. Is all designed to cover up real conflicts of interest and replace it with fake ones. That's the whole point. You're ideologically, you're filling the place in someone's brain where they use to identify who's their own and who's the other guy and who's following their interests and who's not. And you just replace it with a fable and a story. And that's what all of Jewish politics is. Conservatism is effectively the same way. Libertarianism is absolutely the same fucking way. And white people are susceptible to this because white people like ideas, concepts, abstractions, reasoning, and they're not so much as like to do the, oh, that group inherently is bad because group. I'm like, well, guess what, white people, you're in luck. Because you really only have to do that with one group. And they're not that just many the of them.
Yeah.
Just the one. Just the one. And the rest
funny,
of them, you can
and
make,
they're funny
you
looking
do Naxalt with everybody. You could do Naxalt with everybody else.
The group that it replies to, they're all like they're universally ugly and untrustworthy and slimy, and it makes your skin crawl to look at them. So it's like you can just give into that. You can just give into the lizard brain reaction to seeing like Jews talking. You know.
Yeah. You know.
You think it'd be
one
easy.
Final thing about the Carla Barsengo clip is that it's funny. Her facial expressions were just. I guess she was just spectating that whole thing. Like she was not part of that call. She was just making faces as she was watching it or something. But to me, that shows that she still hasn't gotten over that stupid anti-commie shit. Like she became aware of the Jews, at least on Twitter. She was talking about this stuff and she kind of learned about it, or she just decided that she's just going to go back into this sort of comfortable conservative envelope where you can just talk shit on the easiest target alive, which is that shit, you know, and get all kinds of approval and like, you know, this pretense of being outraged at that rhetoric. I find it funny. Even when I was a dyed-in-the-wool libertarian, like 15 years ago, if I heard some college professors talking like that, I would roll my eyes. Oh, another one of these guys, right? Like, it's just like the idea that that's like, oh my God, I blew something. It's 40 fucking people in Texas that didn't like Palestine getting genocided. That's what that group is.
Anyway. And as usual, that's what we got to patrol. We got to make sure the Jews are kept comfortable here.
That's always what ends up getting patrolled, even if she thinks she's doing something else.
Got to make sure I have a stable environment so the Zionism can happen.
Yeah. Got to make sure that all the radicals have like really dumb ideas that they're railing against so the Zionism can happen.
Well, yeah, we want the radicals to be radicals fighting for the Zionism and the establishment status quo. Mm. We want them to like brand themselves as feeling kind of edgy, kind of radical, but really they just love Mitch McConnell.
Zionism is radicalism in decay. Like you can't get your radicalism together, so the Zionism happens.
Yeah. Fuck Carlin Borsenko. Her moment of redemption is over. She's done. Well, I mean, she's gone back. She briefly flirted, I guess, with the talking about the Jews and stuff like that, but she's all the way back to just doing James. She's just James Lindsay. Carlin Borsenko, anti-communist cult leader. I expose and decode the radical. You don't need to decode anything.
You're encoding.
You're actually encoding. And what's decoding? Like that guy said straight up what his goal was. Now, it's a far-fetched goal, like in the extreme. Like it's never going to happen. But he didn't have. There's no decoding. You can listen to what he said. And he said, like, I want to form a revolutionary party to overthrow the state and institute socialism. Something that socialists have been saying for hundreds of years. Like, yeah, and it's like, what's there to decode? Like, you don't need to decode. In fact, so little decoding was necessary that you didn't even talk. You just let that video play and made faces. What needed decoding was what the fuck you were doing, because that was actually kind of weird. Oh, my God. Decode the left. Decode your fucking face, you fat cunt.
I like how like she grew the hair out, and you would think that would hide like the chubbiness of the jawline and the neck, but she actually just looks fatter with the long hair. Like it didn't work.
I don't understand what's going on with the excessive like eyeshadow. Like what's with the raccoon eyes? What are we doing here?
Well, she's just doing also, MAGA. Like, she's doing MAGA fashion trends. Is she wearing a dress called? Was it a sheath dress?
I told you what's going on. She's infiltrating Antifa. She's trying to look like them. That's what she's doing. That's what I think.
She No. She looked more like an Antifa back when she had like the side of her head
lesbian
shape.
Hair. Yeah.
Yeah, the clipped hair.
Yeah, yeah. That looked way closer to an Antifa. Whatever this is. I don't know.
I guess she is just a fat girl, and she's doing what she can to try and make that as less obvious as possible. I don't know what she's kinds doing of measures
anything
that
but
girls.
Anything but not eating and doing a little exercise.
I mean, at the end of the day, she's a sort of fat, Polish girl.
God. Isn't that like a Ukrainian last name? Like Boris, isn't like names like Enko, like Enko. That's like a lot of suffix of a lot of Ukrainian names. I don't know. These people blend together.
Sure.
What's the difference? Polish. I'm sure no one's going to get mad at me saying that.
I mean, nothing wrong with like banging a fat Polish girl. I've done it myself. But this one, ugh.
All right.
It's a case by case thing. Case by case.
You don't have to have a hard, fast rule for everything, you know?
There's nuance. There's nuance here. But even with nuance, there's clear, there's people that were clear. Yeah.
Have you seen these memes?
This is so gay.
These memes that, like, so this is the blonde haired beard man. The yes man is whispering to the MAGA hat wearing NPC. Kimmel was the moderate position. Now, rightoids, because they don't grasp like deeper levels of irony and humor to this. They don't understand that they're not copying your meme and doing a bad job at it. They're making fun of your original meme that Charlie Kirk was the moderate, and you just killed the moderate, because everyone knows.
Oh God!
That there's not going to be a big violent backlash to the assassination. So they're just making fun of you when you say Kimmel's the moderate position. They're like. Like, yeah, they're not going to get like that guy who just got fired from like Texas State or whatever. Like, he's not suddenly going to be like doing late night comedy because now you're getting the extremists. It's just like they're making fun of your bad meme about it. And they're taking it. The rightoids are not taking it well. Like, the left can't look at this. No, they're copying everybody. He's like, no, they're mocking your meme. They're mocking you. And it's really good. It's delicious.
That is actually funny, actually. Now that I see that for what it is, that's pretty funny. Jimmy Kimmel's the moderate, so that's pretty good. That is very funny. That's well done. Good job. So, looking at Carlin Barzenko's Twitter right here. So she's commenting on President Trump's declaration of Antifa as terrorists. And she says this, LOL, good luck. Let's check back in a few months and see if this actually happened. Or if they figured out that it wasn't actually that simple. And then she says another tweet. She says, for the record, if I actually thought this was possible, I would be cheering this. But I know the far left better than anyone. I doubt that. And I don't think our government or the Trump administration has any clue how they are organized and funded. It's just lip service. Well, that is true. That's just lip service. But the issue is not funding an organization.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Of how Antifa is funded and organized. They don't have some brilliant funding and organization scheme. Interestingly enough, Carlin, you're on Fox News. Why didn't you expose the funding? All you did was just show, look, there's a commie professor at a college. Whoa! Mind-blowing news. A commie professor at a college? Let's run around like fucking chickens with our head caught off. Never seen that before. What's the funding? Expose it. I want to see. I want the expose. I want the funding and order to expose it. Instead of just doing Zoom calls with fucking commie groups, leftist, you could go around college to college around the country, find the leftist group, join their Zoom call, record them. And they're all going to be saying that same shit. And you know what? You know what they're going to be doing? Nothing. They're going to go back to their dorm room or to their apartment or to their house and just fucking jerk off to more Marxist bullshit. They're not doing anything. These people this is just content for them, the same way your shit is content for you. They're not doing anything. That's not even Antifa. And like, so where's the funding? Where's the organization? What is it? I want to know. I want to know.
So what is going on with the Jimmy Kimmel situation?
We're gonna have to do that next hour, maybe, to talk about it, because we're just out of time.
Because I saw the statement he made, and I was like, really? They're for this? This is what he's getting asked for?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, right. It's just the vibe shift.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that next hour.
The vibe shift is just the vibe shift. There's nothing really.
It's just vibe shifting. Yeah, that's all.
There's nothing all that significant to it, but you know, I guess you have fun. I guess it's good stuff. So I guess we gotta do what's before we go. Oh, armreg.co.uk.
Selections. Well, let me go to their Twitter and see what are they promoting.
You can follow them at armreg_official.
Yes. So on, they got the Holocaust. Okay, here we go. So we've got the first Holocaust. This is the thing about all the occurrences of the 6 million number in newspaper clippings. And
nobody's ever
like
really Holocausted.
Most people believe that roughly 6 million Jews were killed by National Socialist Germany during World War II in an event generally referred to as the Holocaust. But how long have we been hearing about the 6 million figure? The most widely understood answer is that the 6 million figure was established after the Second World War during the International Military Tribunal at Nuremberg. Don Hedesheimer's book reveals a Jewish Zionist propaganda pattern that has been used since the late 1800s, first against Tsarist Russia, then in favor of Soviet Revolution, next against Nazi Germany, and finally, and ever since, in favor of Israel. This is the surprising origin of the 6 million figure. It's a good book. I've got it. And there's also a mini documentary on the book that you can get on holocausthandbooks.com. But you should also get the book. It's a great book. And you should also get the Holocaust Encyclopedia, which is a great read and also a great debate guide if you want to go out there and break people's balls about the Holocaust on the internet, which I recommend doing because it's a lot of fun. So, yeah.
And the discount code is TRS1.
Oh, yes, right. TRS1, 15% off.
Don't forget that. And then I guess you can visit swazisups.com. Fashy Gains has got new things. He's got potion now. I'm not sure what that's going to do, but I think it's purple drink flavor. I think it's some kind of creatine solution. Build muscle along with the old White Hole pre-workout shit. So
yeah. I was informed that there are two copies of Culture of Critique on the way to the PO box. I was informed of this yesterday. So you can also get that. Cool. This is not sponsored, but you should just read Culture of Critique. It's available on Antelope Hill now. The new edition of it, 40% bigger than the last one.
Oof!
Yeah, much bigger expanded edition. So you should just get that for getting it.
Yep. All right. So with that, let's take a break. We'll be back. I don't know. I'm gonna talk about Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know.
You were listening to the Daily Sewer.